Good to have Brother Biz Larice with us, our missionary to Haiti. And certainly Pastor and his wife are on vacation, much needed rest, I'm sure. And so at this time, we're going to have Brother Biz Larice, if he'll come and share with us what the Lord's laid on his heart, give you kind of an update. It's been, I think you said, how many years since you've been here last? 9 years? 9 years. Time sure flies, and certainly they were here for our missions conference, and we've supported them, love them dearly. Brother Biz, you come at this time and share with us what the Lord's laid on your heart.
Well, I'm glad to be here this morning. It is really a blessing to be able to come back, and even though Brother Rogers is not here, I'd like to express my gratitude toward him for allowing me to come to kind of give you an update to what God is doing there in Haiti and also in the Dominican Republic. And also I'd like to give my gratitude to you as a church. This is really one of the most faithful supporting church that we have that keep us, if you would, moving on the mission field as we preach the gospel. I have tremendous memory, if you would, of Berean Baptist. And in fact, my son, he was 6 months old. The last time that we came here, I say 6 months, I mean 6 weeks. You had, I believe, a Christmas party for the missionaries, and man, you give us so many blessings, so many, if you would, gifts, and which really encourage us. When we came here, if you would, 9 years ago, and we were just talking about what God wanted us to do, what God was going to, if you would, do with us in Haiti when we if you would, came here 9 years ago. And then now to be able to come back, if you would, to giving you like an update to let you know what God is doing is truthfully a blessing. Now, my wife is not with me. She is back in on the mission field in the Dominican Republic. She's in church this morning teaching Sunday school with our daughters, and I praise the Lord for that. And so we kind of came here quickly just to get a couple materials that we needed for the mission field for the Dominican Republic, for Haiti, and so that way we can go back to keep the, if you would, church moving. Let me remind you of my testimony before I get into more details. I'm a native Haitian. I was born in Haiti, that is back in 76. Now, the time that I was born, man, is Haiti is always a poor nation. Really, I was born in a, if you would, a horrible time. My mom and my dad, they were, if you would, poor people. They didn't have much. And because of that, my parents decided that they wanted to leave Haiti and come here, to the U.S., if you would, to look for a better life, for a better opportunity, so far as, if you would, for the future. And so my parents left Haiti. I was only 3 years old, I believe. And they got in a small boat, sailboat, and they sailed from Haiti and then to come all the way here, if you would, to the U.S., So they left me in Haiti, so I grew up with my aunt. And so my aunt, basically, she was a good, godly, church-going lady. She was the one who taught me pretty much everything that I know about church. In fact, Sunday morning, Sunday night, I was in church. Wednesday night, I was in church. She was the kind of a lady who kind of was what you call a fanatic. That's what, you know, I look at it. And that is, I mean, we could not persuade this lady to miss a church service. Back in those days, you know, they didn't know what a clock was or what, you know, a watch was. So she went by the sun, or she went by the cocks when they sang, you know. 5 o'clock in the morning, the cocks would get up and begin to sing, you know, coo-coo-coo-coo. Get up, it's time to go to church. Come on, and it's 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, we can be late, we don't have to be the first one in church, you know. But, you know, God used her life to really mold my life so far as the love in my heart to serve God, the love in my heart to, if you would, really want to give the Lord my life. And so then there in Haiti, I remember the times, man, you know, we have tremendous problem with satanicisms in Haiti, voodoo, and all kind of problems there. And I remember the time that my aunt, she gathered us boys, me and my cousins, and she told us, she wanted us every evening before we go to bed to do our own personal devotions, read our Bible, to pray. And she told us the reason is because of the kind of a problem they are facing in Haiti with satanicism, and she said only God can protect us from that. And so, you know, she told us to do it. You know, we were kids, 9, 10 years old. You know, which kid is going to get spiritual about the Bible, right? And so we don't read it, you know. We just kind of ignore it, you know. And then so eventually in our neighborhood, one of our good buddies, friends, he got basically, you know, killed with voodoo. And then so we knew about it. All of us kids knew about it. Of course, it was sad, you know, really. Man, making us, you know, thinking. And so my aunt called us one afternoon. She set us down. She said, did you guys hear about this boy, you know, who got killed and everything? And we said, yeah, you know, it is really sad, you know. And she said, do you guys know how he got killed? We said, yeah, we heard it. He got killed by voodoo. She said, yeah. Now, she said, do you remember I told you guys to read your Bible, to pray every evening? We said, yeah, we remember that. She said, have you been doing it? We look at each other. No. And she said, you know what's going to happen, right? And we said, what? She said, the same thing that's happened to this boy will happen to you if you don't have your own walk with God. And she said, I told you, I can't protect you. Only God can. So she said, if you don't do it, she said, that's what's going to happen to you. And she walked away. We look at each other. Give me a Bible, you know. and so, you know, we began to read the Bible. Man, we fall in love. I did. I remember the time that I fall in love with the story of Joseph and my favorite story in the Bible. And so many different other scriptures in the Bible. That's when I really began to get in the book. And God began to work in my heart. And my aunt, watching her life, she was really a poor lady, but genuine, godly, Christian, really met everything she was learning about the Christian life, putting them to, if you would, practice. And so it wasn't long after that day in Haiti as a boy, God called me to preach, and it's a long story. But, you know, my again, one of my favorite story is one evening, we boys we're at the house. Nobody was home, so far as adults. And so we decided, we said, man, let's have a church service. And so we organized it. Somebody will lead the singing, somebody will pray, and then somebody's supposed to pick up the offering, and somebody's supposed to do the preaching. You know, so each one of the guys, they volunteered to do part of the service. We're just going to have fun. And but, you know, everybody kind of back off from the preaching idea, you know. So I remember that night, I said, I'll preach, you know. And then in my heart, in my mind, I wanted to preach on Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents. And it was that same night the Lord really gave me the desire for preaching, for teaching, that this just never left me. Somehow, I walk away that night knowing that's exactly what God wanted me to do all my life, no doubt about it. And so in Haiti, God already put the desire, the hunger, the thirst in me to serve him, to preach his word. And then it wasn't long after that, we saw some missionaries came from the state. They came to our neighborhood in Haiti. They were doing revival meetings, and my aunt took us boys to it. And then, man, they were preaching, teaching, giving invitation, people walking down the altar. And, you know, and then I began to think, you know, my parents actually made it to the U.S., and I began to think, you know, they're going to come someday to get me. They're going to bring me here to the U.S. And I'm thinking, you know, why shouldn't I be able to do what these missionaries are doing? And that is come here to the state, get trained for the ministry, and then turn around and go back to Haiti and go back and help my own people to, if you would, preach, to teach, to help them. And, you know, that night in the meeting the missionaries were having, I made a promise to the Lord. I made a decision that is, I'm going to come back to Haiti whenever I get to go to the state to minister, to help our people. And, man, it seems like the Lord took me up on the promise that I made. My parents did come back to Haiti. They got me. They brought me here to the state. And in those days, I live in Dover, Delaware. And the thing about the Haitian people is this. When you have a mom and a dad who risk their life, who got in a sailboat like they did, and then come to the state, and then go back to Haiti and get the kids, bring them to the U.S. You know, their goal, their vision for this kid is to become established in the social class, like a doctor, like a lawyer, like a senator or something. Don't you ever stand before them and tell them you're going to go back to Haiti. Because if you do, they will put cents on your head. They will slap you. Say what? You mean to tell me I risked my life to bring you over here and you want to go back to that poverty? You know, they will put sense in your head. And so, you know, in my heart, in my mind, I knew what God wanted me to do. But I did not tell my parents about it. And that is going back. And so I kept, if you would, the desire that God put in me to go back to Haiti, to work with the people, never mentioned that to my parents. Went to high school, graduated, and then I even went to a university. But in my heart, I wanted to be a pastor. I wanted to be in the Lord's work. I wanted to be a missionary. And I understood what God wanted me to be. And so I went to Delaware State University, and I was there. I took like a year in business administration. But in my heart, I kind of feel like, man, this is not what I want to do. This is not what God wants me to do. And so I finished two semesters at Delaware State. And then I had a part-time job. And a lady at the job invited me to visit her church. And then she was going to a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church. And she invited me. I said, okay, I'll go, you know. And then that was really, pretty much the first time I walked into a fundamental Bible, soul-winning, preaching church. And, man, I walk in the church, and, man, I said, man, the preacher was preaching. You know, you felt convicted. Man, I'm thinking, man, this is good, you know. I went home, and then the next Sunday I came back, man, he's preaching again. I'm thinking, man, this is awesome, you know. And so eventually I walked forward in the church service. I asked if I would join the church. They agree. That was only like for a month. And then the next month, I went to work. Man, I was tired. I didn't feel like going to church. But, you know, I got up and I went to church that Sunday morning. When I walked in the building, I heard all these young ladies singing. And not only were they singing, but they all look alike. And not only they all look alike, but they all dress alike. So I said, we're in the back of the church. You know, they begin to talk about this place called Housing Listening College. You know, if you want to get trained for the ministry, that's where you go and all these things. And so in my heart, I'm thinking, man, I said, that's what I've been looking for, you know. And so I sat in the back of the service. And then after this thing, and I walked to the tables that they had set in the back of the church. And then I asked for, you know, more information about the college. And they told me about it. And so I said, well, can I have an application? And they gave it to me. And I filled the application. And just in about a 2 month period, I left the university, applied for Housing Listening College. They accepted me, and I took transfer immediately, and here I was at Housing Listening. But, you know, in my mind and my heart, as a boy from Haiti, you know, I thought I was decent. I thought I was godly. I thought I was a good Christian until I got to Hiles Anderson. When I got there, I found I was a heathen because, you know, I could not wear my hat backward. I couldn't put my pants underneath my bottom. I couldn't dip and dap like I like to do, you know. I could not listen to Bob Marley. Is this place crazy? I thought. I could not hug my girlfriend. Goodness, you can even shake some girl's hand. I'm thinking, this place is crazy. You know, but, you know, eventually I was, you know, able to see clearly. If God led me here, it's probably because he wanted me to stay. And so I began to give in. I changed my ways, and, man, the Lord began to walk in my heart, and it was a college, Houses and College. I really understood 100% what salvation was, how somebody gets saved. And then so eventually I got saved at Houses and it's a long process, but I began to understand you can't be saved by your good works, only by faith in Christ Jesus. I began to witness to people myself, began to win them, began to, literally speaking, understanding this thing about salvation. Then it dawned on me, you know, that's why God brought me here, to really understand what salvation is so that I may go back home again and preach and teach to our own people, help them to understand this matter of being saved and also going, if you would, into heaven. And so eventually I met my wife at Housing Institute. She is not Haitian. She is she's from Alabama. Pray for her. But, you know, it's amazing. But, man, the Lord eventually knew what he was doing. We met at college, man, a tremendous young lady. We dated, and then eventually we got married. And in our first date, at college, you know, a lot of people ask me, Biz, did you ever tell your wife you're going to be a missionary to Haiti? My answer is always, yes, I told her. And our first date, I said, she wasn't beloved. I call her beloved now, but she was Miss Erica back then. I said, Miss Erica, I said, I'm not saying I'm going to marry you. No, you're going to marry me. We're just having a fun date as, you know, just kids. But if something ever come out of this, I'm going to go back to Haiti. I'm a missionary, and I want you to know that. And she knew it. She knew it from day one. It's amazing. My wife got to Haiti, and we began to preach the gospel. People began to get saved. She fell in love with those people, loved them. And then God wanted us to come out of Haiti to go into the Dominican Republic. I mean, still, I mean, her heart is in love with the people, teaching them, preaching to them, helping them. And it's really a gift, if you would, to me from God. And I praise the Lord for that. And so God gave us 5 kids. I think I have some prayer cards if you'd like to have one. And that is, we have BJ, we have Cece, Jacqueline, baby Stephen, and Joseph. And we praise the Lord for that. And so our ministry, what do we do? Our ministry. We are involved in the ministry of church planting. That's what we went to Haiti to do. In fact, when I came back here 9 years ago, that's what I told you I was going to go to Haiti to do. And I remembered I asked you, I told you I needed chairs for Haiti. And somebody here in the church gave me 200 chairs for the church. And your gift is why we have a solid local church in Haiti. I'm going to tell you more about what this church is doing in Haiti. But anyhow, we are in Haiti to plant churches. We have started the Living Baptist Church in St. Mark. And now this church is doing well. They're about 6 years old, I believe. We went into the city of St. Mark. Again, soul winning. Inviting people to a small little Bible study, beginning to witness to them, beginning to see people saved. And the first meeting we had like maybe 10, 15 people gathered underneath a little driveway, you know. And then, we began to preach and teach and visit and just really do what God sent us there to do. And today we have a solid church building in the city of St. Mark, sits about 300 people. We're running about 2 to 50 on Sunday morning and Sunday nights. Let me tell you a little bit about the summer activities we have every year. In August, this August coming up, we're going to have, if you would, camp. We have teen camps every year. And this teen camp, this is just our church alone. We take about 120 young people to camp every year, just our church alone. We preach to them. We love them. We help them. And then we have campaign, soul winning campaign, and that is a campaign that we do every year. We do it for 4 weeks. When I say campaign, I mean we go out soul winning 6 days a week for 4 weeks. And then we provide a meal for the people in our church. We cook for them. And then from 8 in the morning until 12 in the day, they go out in the entire city of St. Mark preaching, teaching, winning people to Christ, inviting them to church. And it's really a good time. Man, this year, we have a goal of winning 2,000 people to Christ in 1 month. And we have a goal of baptizing 100 people in 1 month. And we have been walking toward that. We have been planning, if you would, toward it. And we are, if you would, looking forward to it. And then we have Vacation Bible School. Every summer, we have that. And last year alone, we had 650 kids. And Vacation Bible School, 3 days, and if you would, and the week. We preach to them, we love them, we give them gifts. And again, you know, 9 years ago, it was not really a reality. It was just an idea. We came here to tell you we were going to go to do. And you believed in it. You invested in it. And then today we have a solid, fundamental, Bible-believing local church, if you would, in the city of St. Mark. Now, our goal is to plant more churches like this one that we have in the city of St. Mark. So what we're doing with now is we're training young men, getting them ready, if you would, for the ministry, so that way we can expand ourselves, go in different towns, go in different villages, and if you would, plant all the churches like the one we have in the city of St. Mark. Also, now I live in the Dominican Republic. If you look at in our prayer cards, Haiti is a small island. One side of it is Dominican Republic. The other side is Haiti. Now, I live in the Dominican Republic. We also are working in the Dominican Republic. We recently planted another church there in the Dominican Republic. Our goal, again, is to preach, teach, train people, if you would, to expand, if you would, the work of the ministry, to reach, if you would, more people for the Lord. Now, how many of you remember how about, I think it was about 3 years ago, how there was an earthquake hit Haiti? Do you remember that? It was all over the news. Tremendous. I'm glad you remember that. Now, as a missionary, my primary ministry, like I said, is to preach the gospel, get people saved, plant churches, you know. But when the earthquake hit Haiti, man, I had people, literally speaking, knocking on my door. They wanted to do something for Haiti. They wanted to feed people. They wanted to help. And so eventually what the Lord did is the Lord opened up a door for us to begin to do something about the physical problems, the physical aspects, if you would, of the Haitian people. And so what we did is we began what you call a foundation. This foundation is there in the city of St. Mark, only to help the physical aspects of the people, like food, like clothes, like water, helping families that's been in the earthquake to, if you would, find a place where they can live, like if you would, shelter. Now, here's what's going on. I read an article on the internet about the earthquake. And the article says this. There was $4 billion promised to Haiti during the earthquake. And this promise was made by different countries around the world, in Europe, Canada, the U.S., and $2.5 billion has already been given. But did you know, if you go back to Haiti right now, the people are still living in tents? They are still suffering. They are still in hunger. You know, in your mind, you're thinking, you know, the problem is solved. Not at all. And that's what we're facing with what we're seeing as missionaries. And that is, you here in the U.S. give all this help financially to government aids or organizations to help these people. But the truth is, they never get it. What happened is this. In Haiti, you are dealing with corruptions. That is always a problem. It has always been a problem. So when you go to a government-run organization, you said, I want to give $1,000 to help the Haitians. They say, praise God for you. You have come to help us. The government leaders are saying that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And they give this help, and they take all of it, put it in their pocket. They do not give anything whatsoever to the people. So you deal with heavy corruptions. And secondly, you are dealing also with what you call a heavy problem with satanic worships. What I mean by that is, in the heart and the mind and the spirit and the soul of these people, they really don't know God. They are really lost. They really don't understand the concept of the Bible, of the, if you would, of the scripture. They really don't understand, if you would, the concept of, if you would, God's blessing in their lives. And so, listen to me. What we find out is this. It is better to help the people in Haiti through the local church. It is 10 times better. Why? You're actually dealing with the people. You see them. You know their problem. You know their needs. You are able to go into their homes. You are able to win them to Christ. And then the help that you give, they actually get it. I give you two examples. And then after that, we'll be done and I get to a scripture passage. During the earthquake, for example, people here in the U.S. sent money to us in Haiti. You wanted us to feed the Haitians. Well, we were glad to do it. So we took about 120 different families. And so every month for a year and a half, we fed these families. How did we do it? I flew into Haiti myself. Sometimes I drove in. With our staff members and the church, we went to the open market. We bought the food, sometimes $5,000 worth of food. Rice, beans, oil, and all kinds of different foods. And then we actually go inside their homes, one-on-one with the people, giving them the food. Why? If you don't do it that way, they'll never get it. And then you wanted to provide water for them. I promoted that. We actually went to a community and, literally speaking, built a huge reservoir. That's what they call it in French. 12,000 gallons, of water it is able to hold. And then we provide water for this entire community. But we go in ourselves and we do it. They get it. They're happy. They're excited. That works through the local church. But when you stay here and you call some organization and you said, I want to give this to you to help the people, they don't get it. I was talking to my mother-in-law in Alabama. Again, pray for them. They need help. She was telling me the ridiculous scandal that involved, she was reading about it on the news, overseas with government organizations. So, for example, if you give a dollar through an organization, they might give the people 10 cents out of it. The 90 cents stays to help run the organization, to pay for the employees, to buy the nice cars they need, to pay for their offices. But again, if you give it to the local church, every penny goes to the people, every bit of it, just to help you understand. Now, this is what we are trying to do with this foundation that we have in Haiti. We are trying to, number one, move into a second phase. Remember, we have been already feeding 120 families every month. We don't want to feed them all their lives. We want to teach them to walk. We want to teach them to become self-dependent, to provide for themselves. So what we're trying to do is put, if you would, things into the people's hands in Haiti that they can go out and walk and win, if you would, their own way of life, find their own way, if you would, to provide for their own families. So what we're trying to do is this. Number one, we want to ship second-hand goods from the state that you have in your home that you don't want. Very soon, we're going to send a letter to Brother Rogers. He doesn't know about it yet, but now you do. We're going to beg you to donate to us everything that you have in your home you don't need. We have a warehouse in Cleveland, Ohio. We're going to put all those things in the warehouse, and then our goal is to ship them to Haiti. So we're going to need your help to donate what you have in your home don't need. And we will need your help also to donate some funds to us to be able to ship those things to Haiti. Now, when those things get to Haiti, the idea is, now listen, we will give those things to the people. They will sell them. And then when they sell them, they will keep, if you would, the profit for themselves. They will give back to us the money that we put into it to take it to them. Why? So we can ship more stuff to them on a, if you would, constantly basis. Another thing we're trying to do is to help different families start businesses. I'll give you an example. What now? We have a young fella. He has already given me his business idea. What he wants to do is to open what you call a boutique in Haiti. A boutique in Haiti is different from our thinking here in the state, what a boutique is. In Haiti, a boutique is basically somebody who has a little shop, and they sell goods in it, like rice, beans, like oil, like other things that the people would need to eat. Well, we want to help this family start a little boutique, and then they will be able to sell goods, and by that, they're going to provide, if you would, their own way, if you would, through life. So this is basically an idea of what we want to do to help the people. But like I said, very soon, we're going to send letters to the churches, to churches like this one, to let you know exactly what we need you to do, how to help us as we try to help the Haitian people. Last thing I'll say is this, and I'll be done. We want to make the churches that we establish in Haiti self-supported, autonomous. In other words, we don't want to constantly be given money to the churches from the state. Well, the way to do that, obviously, is to teach the people to tithe and to give their offerings. Well, that sounds good, if the people have jobs. But if they don't have any jobs, how are they going to tithe and give the offerings? It's difficult. It's almost impossible. So in Haiti, because of the nature of the country, what we have to do is to help the churches to find, again, another source of income to come in to supplement the tithe and the offering of the people. And this is what we need for the church in St. Mark. Very simple. We are trying to help them to get 2 pickup trucks in Haiti. Why the pickup trucks? Well, 2 men in the church will get these pickup trucks, and they will go out on the street and do taxes. They make good money from that. And this money will come into the local church to, if you would, help the people provide again for their own way. Help the church become self, if you would, dependent. Not on the missionary, not on us, but to learn to depend on their own 2 feet. Now, the idea about this pickup truck is this. If you have a pickup truck, you want to donate it, we love to take it. Because we want to give it to the people to help them to become self-dependent. Get them moving, teach them to walk, teach them to pay for their own way. If perhaps you want to help toward the idea, getting those 2 pickup trucks to Haiti, we have, a quote here. The average, if you would, pickup trucks, as I look at the quotes, a $3,000 pickup truck will do good for Haiti. A Toyota, a Nissan, and then we spend another $1,000 to put it in a boat, and another $1,000 to get it out of, if you would, customs once they get to Haiti. Now listen to this. In 1 year, the pickup truck in Haiti will pay for itself and the money they're going to bring into the church. And then on the weekend, on Sundays, they will use those same pickup trucks to go out and pick up people and bring them to church. So really, this is really a need. It will be a blessing to the people. It will be a blessing, if you would, in the idea of bringing people to church in Haiti. Conclusion, so that way I can be done. In Acts chapter 17, I want to show you a scripture passage. Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, I will read for you in verse 22. The Bible says this, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" Of course, in this passage, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And as we see, he went to the city, to the, if you would, town of Athens. to basically kind of hide for his life, because in the previous place where he was, he had faced some persecutions where the Pharisees, they were running after the Apostle Paul. They wanted to, if you would, kill him. They wanted to hurt him. They wanted to run Paul, if you would, out of towns. So Paul went to Athens, and if you would, as a refuge, kind of stay away from the battle for a while and kind of, if you would, find a place to hide. But when he got to Athens, he began to look all around him the way the people of Athens were living. He says they were very superstitious, which meant they were heavily involved in idol worships. And then he as he observed, he saw not only were they heavily involved in superstition and also in idol worship, they did not even know who God was. They believed there was a God. They wanted to know God, but they did not know who God was. In fact, he said he noticed in all the different altars that the people of Athens built, they had established to do the idol worships, they had a special, if you would, altar. On it, they put down the word, to the unknown God. In other words, they're worshiping the God that they don't even know. What did Paul said? He said, since you don't know who he is, today, he said, I want to introduce God to you. And that day, the Bible says, if you read in the book, in the chapter 17, Paul stood with the people of Athens. He introduced to them who God was. He preached the gospel to them. He helped them to understand that God has a son, the Lord Jesus, whom he had sent to earth, who died for their sin, who was buried, who rose from the dead. And therefore, they needed to accept it, God's son, as, if you would, their savior. Why? It is through the Son of God you come to know who God is. It is through the Lord Jesus, when you believe in him, you begin to understand, literally speaking, the image, if you would, of God. Now listen, why do I use this scripture passage? If you go to Haiti, you will see a people that are, superstitious. They believe in idol worship. They believe in spiritism. They are very superstitious. If you go to Haiti, you will see a people that has a hunger for God. They're zealous. They love to go to church. They love to talk to you about the Lord. Have a desire for God. But the problem is, they don't even know who God truly is. I was in Haiti last month, preaching, and after I preach, while people are set in the bus station waiting for my bus to go back to the Dominican Republic to go back home to be with my wife. And as I sat there, a lawyer came and sat next to me. And we began to talk. And he found out I was a missionary, a pastor, and he began to ask me a lot of questions about the Bible, about God. Then he asked me, he said, I have a question. I said, what is it? He said, I don't understand. He said, how it is that there are some believers, Christians, he said, who claim that they are saved, they're going to go to heaven. Who claim that they are so confident, they have no doubt about it. When they die, they will be in heaven. He said, in his own, if you would, opinion, that's ridiculous, he said. How can that be? How can someone know that they say they're going to go to heaven when you're not even dead yet? You're not even standing in front of God. When I opened the Bible, and I showed this man how truly the Bible teaches, you could know you're saved. You could know your sins are forgiven. You could know who really God is. And you know, he sat there with me. He said, Pastor, for the first time in my life, my eyes are open. He said, I really understand. He said, you can really know you're saved. You can really know God. I said, yeah, because the Bible says so. Then you know what he asked me? You know what he said? How about all the people in Haiti who don't know? He said, now you show me, now I know, now I understand. Do you mean to tell me all these other people who don't know this truth, they're going to die and go to hell? I say, well, if people like me don't get to them before it's too late, the answer is they're going to die. They're going to go to hell. And I told them, that's why I said in Haiti, I'm here. That's why every summer we are preaching the gospel. That's why, if you would, we really believe in doing all that we can do to help the Haitian people. Now, folks, this is why I showed you this scripture passage again. I want you to understand, my primary work, purpose in Haiti is to win the lost. It is to give them the gospel. It is to show them who God is. It is to bring them to the knowledge of the truth. That's what we are there to do. But at the same time, we are daily watching people suffering. Hunger, problems, difficulties. As a missionary, as a pastor, listen to me, so I'll be done. In order for us to really reach them with the gospel, we got to do something about their physical need. In order for us to really witness to them and win them to Christ, we have got to do what we can, if you would, to establish them. And then tune them, train them to win the lost, and then they go out and preach, if you would, to their own people. And so therefore, I beg of you, keep on praying for us. We need you to pray. You've been faithful to do that. I beg of you, keep on, if you would, supporting us. And again, I beg of you, if you could do something to help with these pickup trucks ideas and the future, the letters we're going to send to Brother Rogers to try to show him what we want to do for Haiti, anything you can do that you do would be a blessing. And again, I want to say thank you to you as a church for all that you have done and for all that you did, again, on our behalf to be able to keep us on the mission field. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Biz. Boy, sure you didn't have any idea 9 years ago, all the different directions and tentacles that your ministry was going to be involved in, and the Lord certainly has given put a lot on your plate, and I thank you for your faithfulness in serving the Lord there in Haiti and Dominican Republic. We're going to take a break now, and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer, and invite you to be back for our morning service in just a few minutes. We'll take a special offering during that service. Brother Biz is going to be preaching for us this morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the Larises and their many years now of service in a very poor area of the world. We thank you for their heart, their love for their people that you've directed them to minister to. We ask that you'll continue to bless them and meet their needs and the people over there in Haiti, both physical and spiritual needs. We ask that you'll be with us in this next service to follow and speak to hearts. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.